Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined in today as we face Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We're asking the question, and I pray that I'm wrong, is the end of America, is this the end of America? Will this election be the end of America as we know it? That's the question that must be asked. And as we face the issues we're talking about today, the potential of losing the election, the potential of losing America and American freedom by voter fraud, by theft of the election by the Socialist Marxist BLM Democrat Communist Party that's trying to steal the election by mail-in voting and early voting. And that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question and comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Derby. Hello. Listen, Derby is one of the great citizen advocates in the Jacksonville area, and so appreciate what he does. It's a shame that, well, it's not a shame. It is, I think, an act of God that we have good folks like Derby who come from places where freedom was taken, who can tell us to guard and protect what we have. So many of us have forgotten that America has truly been blessed by God. Michael Medved's got a good book out called God's Hand on America that showed even how our earliest forefathers, George Washington and John Adams and others, knew that America existed for a divine purpose, part of which was to return Israel to the promised land, which is kind of a little-known thing. But my point is, I appreciate you having Derby on because he can tell those of us who have been asleep, and that's white guys with gray hair like me, who have become so complacent in recent years that we did not stand up and push back against the darkness that was descending. And I saw Derby down at city council many times when a few of us were down there pushing back against Tommy Hazzuri and those people that have been bringing evil, literally, into this area as it has been coming into America, while, as I said before, guys who look like me haven't really done very much. Now, that said, I have a fairly definitive view of where we're headed, but I'm not going to stop with that view and not do anything. Franklin Graham said in January of 2015, essentially, just boiling his words down into something simple, America is toast, and you and Derby know that if something isn't done, we are toast. My view is that, we probably are already toast, but we don't climb up on the roof and wait for the floodwaters to come. What we do is we continue fighting as if there's an amazing amount of time left to do something that is good and righteous.
Amen.
We need to keep working until we're overtaken, if you will, by the evil, or until the Lord takes his church out, which
That's
is
right.
What I think is going to happen. But Franklin Graham said, America's toast. I agree with him. And in the end of September, there's going to be a large march in Washington led by Franklin Graham where we're going to march from the Jefferson Memorial to the White House, stopping and praying along the way as we traverse the National Mall, asking God to deliver this country. But if nothing else, it's going to be a statement that there are at least 5,000 people who have not bent the knee to Baal, who will make a statement before all of America that we were once a righteous nation and we ought to be one again. We can't do that unless we turn to God and cry out in repentance for the mess we've done. I want to make just a few more points. Joe Biden is the definitive example of what's wrong with America.
That's right.
Old guys who look like me, white guys with gray hair, are represented now by Joe Biden, a know-nothing, idiotic cad that anybody that thinks that he has presidential leadership is an utter fool. And you have to give the enemy credit. They're not fools. So they have placed this idiotic facade of a man before us as a presidential candidate because they have a purpose for him. God's purpose is to point out to us just what we have become collectively. Joe Biden's do-nothing, superficial, flashy smiles. But the reality is that God has now judged guys that look like me, old white guys with gray hair, because we haven't done what we are supposed to do. It takes people like Derby to come in and say, hey, guys, you had a good thing. You're losing it. Wake up. There's several books out now, two in particular, that I want to talk about, and I will close. The first is Election Heist by Ken Timmerman. I think Derby knows him through the Benghazi event. We've had Ken Timmerman come several times. But Ken is a great author, a great intelligence guy, if you will. And his book, Election Heist, needs to be read immediately. It was just released last week. You need to get it because it is Ken's intent to put in fiction what is going to happen in November if we even have an election. I don't plan to be here, but if we still are, then Election Heist is a great reality. But the second and most important is the book Blitz by David Horowitz just came out. David Horowitz very correctly says that most Americans are repulsed, or let's say a significant number of people in America are repulsed by what the Democrat Party is doing. It bears no resemblance to the America that we've known. And in Blitz, it says very clearly Trump will win by a landslide. And I think that's a great possibility. But here's the danger of that. For 2 years, as Derby said rightly, we've been at war. We are at war. We have been at literal war in a form that we don't recognize, unfortunately, as Nixon said we did in 1980 in his book, The Real War. We've been at war, and the fifth column within this country, led by the Democrats, have been trying to bring down the lawfully elected president. Well, they failed. And if Donald Trump is reelected, as Horowitz says he will be, then the globalists who are behind this demonic attack on our president and our nation, trying to bring America down, have only one option, and that is a military option. And I believe that the book, David Horowitz, his book, The Blitz by David Horowitz, puts us in, we need to think about what could result. The Democrats in America have failed to bring the president down. The globalists are about to lose their chance. They have the weapons, they have the intent, they have the desire, because America and Israel are the last two nations to stand between Satan and global hegemony. We need to be awake. We need to be paying close attention to what's happening in our country. And our leaders have to be aware that we are in great military danger right now, the greatest our nation has ever faced. And it goes directly back to Derby, who saw the military actions of Fidel Castro destroy his country. All right, I ran
okay, Marshall, comment. In a fair and honest election, Trump wins hands down.
Absolutely.
It all depends on how much cheating the Democrats and big tech do. If they cheat more than in 2016, we lose.
You said it.
If they cheat about the same, we have a pretty good chance of winning. So that is the main issue, the cheating and lying and the voter fraud and all the illegal aliens that vote.
I agree. I've talked too much, so I'm going to back out. But I just wanted to get that in play and thank Derby for being a citizen advocate. Reminds those of us that look like me, gray-haired old white guys, have forgotten.
Now you've talked about me two or three times. You've said gray hair and white guys with gray hair. And I'm looking over here at Derby. He's a white guy with gray hair also. So.
With an accent. That's the only difference.
But thank you.
There's a few of us that still want to see righteousness prevail.
Amen.
I'm still guilty by association, so I accept that, say I'm sorry, and I'm going to try to do better tomorrow. So,
you're all right.
God bless you guys.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis here. Just a comment basically about Mr. Biden. He's already had 8 years prior to this time in the White House under Obama. And if Americans will reflect back on that, I don't think they'll find anything noteworthy that he did back during that period. So what's making them think that he's going to do any better this time? I certainly wouldn't take a chance on a person like that.
I agree with you. Thank you. That is exactly right. That's one of the things I have been kind of amazed at with the general populace, especially those that are anxious to see Biden. And you find that mainly in your millennial, 18 to 34, 35-year-old age group, and they're dancing around because of the promise. I watched an interview where they're doing street interviews in New York and asked the people about the Biden administration, what would they think. And one man spoke so clearly and so definitively. He said, "I'm for whichever candidate will do the most for me, whichever one will give me the most." And he was a millennial. That's the mindset of the millennials today, and that's the problem. And so I agree with what you're saying. If Biden was not able to accomplish anything, and in fact it's not just the 8 years with the Obama administration, but he's been in the political circles in Washington. I don't think the man's ever drawn a paycheck from anything other than political work, and he's been there for almost 50 years. So what has he done that he's claiming now that he can do if given another opportunity? What has he done in the previous years to accomplish anything that's beneficial for America? So you're right. And as you're saying, and I believe that it needs to be verbalized and screamed as loud as possible from the rooftop, warning America that if we vote for the Biden-Harris team for the president and vice president of the United States of America, we are voting for the demise, the destruction of the United States of America. I can't say it any clearer than that. We're voting to undermine and tear down and destroy the constitutional republic. It's not a democracy. The constitutional republic that we have with the representative form of government. This will be the last free election if it is stolen by the Socialist, Marxist, Democrat, to Communist Party in America. And so you're right. All we can do, Brother Davis, is keep on praying, keep on looking up, and then by asking God to intercede and put Donald J. Trump back in office.
Amen.
Thank you for your call and your comments. God bless you. Derby,
thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you, and God bless you today. Derby, what are some other thoughts that you have? You're talking about on the track of talking about voting fraud. What brings about voting fraud? What is wrong with mail-in voting? Why shouldn't it just be universal mail-in voting? What can happen? What can go wrong with that?
Okay, I asked face-to-face of Mike Hogan and Robert Phillips, who is his assistant at the Supervisor of Elections office, and I said to them, "I know you count votes very well. You're very accurate. But can you guarantee to me that every vote you count is not a fraudulent vote?" He says, "No, I can't." In other words, they know how to count, but what they count might be fraudulent, and they have no say-so on that vote that could have been filled out by a dog or a cat or somebody who's dead or an illegal alien.
Well, Derby, perhaps our listeners need to understand. Some have called it granny voting. And that's where they go into the nursing homes and the retirement centers and gather up ballots and fill them out and get the people to sign them and say they're giving them a hand by getting the ballots in. In fact, many of these organizations, ladies and gentlemen, are called nonprofit organizations that's supposedly, designed to help you get your ballot in. And yet I'm looking at an article, Derby, that says 28 million mail-in ballots went missing in the last four elections. 28 million. Think of how many people lost the election by maybe 10,000 or 1,000 or 2,000 votes. As Derby, as you recall, a number of years ago right here in Florida, a House of Representatives member, Jay Fant, won the election by two votes. And so what if there had been four fraudulent votes? He would have lost the election.
Yes. Voting should be more difficult. So should immigration and citizenship.
Talk about that.
Well, we need to make some immigration reform. But not what the left wants. We need to stop chain immigration, stop the anchor babies, stop any health care or free health care to illegal aliens. We should make E-Verify required. There should be a penalty for being in the country illegally, but we do nothing to them.
What would you suggest for that penalty?
Well, here it is. All of them should be deported within hours of being here. But here's where I am different. Do not deport the criminal illegal aliens. You know why? If you deport them, they come right back.
Right.
So you're wasting your time. So you grab the criminal illegal aliens and put them in a forced labor concentration camp to work, and to their the fruit of their labor will be given to the victims of illegal aliens. That is how you keep the criminals from coming back.
Well, now, Derby, if I can butt in for a minute, you and I both know that the average bleeding heart liberal out there will say that's harsh punishment. What you're saying is there needs to be penalty for the illegal act of coming into America. And if there's that penalty, and we talked about it pre-show before going on the air, about the potentiality, or at the break time, I've forgotten, you talked about maybe even instituting the RICO Act as a penalty that would cause that to stop.
The RICO Act works this way. It was instituted or passed in 1970. It's called the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act. And it was done to fight the mafia and the drug dealers, etc. And the RICO Act says that you can confiscate or seize the assets of anything that they obtain illegally. So if the drug dealer buys a car with illegal funds or a house or a boat, that can be taken away. Well, apply that to the average nice illegal alien who's been here 20 years, who maybe owns a house, a car, a business, a boat, and all that. And if you seize their assets and deport them right away, the other illegal aliens who have been here for years, they will self-deport. It wouldn't cost the taxpayer any money to get rid of people who don't belong, because illegal is illegal. What is it that a bleeding heart that Republicans and Democrats cannot get? Illegal is illegal. Illegal is illegal. So deport them all. As to the DACA people, you know, I am not a religious person, but I know that the Bible says that for in Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 5th verse, "For I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." In plain English, that means that the children pay for the sins of their parents. The parents broke the law. The children should not benefit for the sins of their parents. They should be sent back along with the parents and seize all their assets, period. Put Americans first. These DACA people are taking the jobs that college graduates want, and illegals always work for less. Illegals or immigrants always raise their Democrat, whether you come from Asia, Latin America, Europe, Africa. Most immigrants, except Cubans, raise their and vote Democrat. We have enough Democrats. We should accept only the very best citizens of the world, the one who are young enough, healthy enough, educated enough, who embrace our values, not those who want to change us into something we are not. And they should speak English and renounce every other allegiance to any country in the world. I don't think that Muslims do that. So why should we allow them to become
exactly
citizens?
Right. In fact, they're sworn in sometimes on the Quran. We've got dozens and dozens. In fact, right now, most are not aware, and you touched on that. I must respond to it. We have now across America some 1,000 as a minimum that are Muslims that are running for local, state, and national offices. And if based on precedents in the past, if they're elected, they will be sworn in on the Quran, not on the Bible. By the way, let's go back, and I'm not going to elaborate on this further. You said I'm not a religious person. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not a professing Christian. You're just simply saying you're not a preacher. You're not one that studies the scripture.
Yes, but I have read the Bible. And in Cuba, I attended the Methodist Church in Havana, and that is how come I came from Havana to Madison, Florida. My mother knew the Methodist bishop in Havana, and then he knew a Methodist preacher in Madison, and that's how come we came to the U.S. Instead of Miami, we went to a small town where we were the only Cubans in town. We were treated like celebrities. No discrimination, no nothing. We loved it.
Amen.
And that was 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So you've been in America a while. Tell our listeners, if you can, just comparison and contrast with what America was like 60 years ago and
sure,
what you see today.
Sure, I made a few notes here. Well, 60 years ago, Americans loved and respected their country. They respected the law, police, the military, immigrants. Respected and were afraid of immigration. They came here to become Americans, to assimilate and to work hard, not to get goodies from the public sector. there was no education for illegals. Now, I was a legal, I came as a tourist, changed the visa to student, so I was legal. I could attend school, but illegally, I shouldn't have been given education. College students in the summer, they got, they worked in a factory or a resort place. I did that because we had plenty of jobs. Now, the jobs are taken by the illegal aliens. In movies, we had sex and violence, but it was implied. Now it's too graphic, which is sickening. Everything was made in the U.S.
That's right.
Everything that I, in fact, in Cuba, everything my mother bought was made in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the Cubans were customers of American manufacturing. And the U.S. exported all over the world. Now we import more than we export. The dollar is not what it used to be. In the 60s, the dollar was number one. It was cheaper to travel to Europe vacationing than in the U.S. Now it's the reverse. It was safe to hitchhike. And now I would never try that. And you didn't have to lock your car or even your front door when you went to bed. And instead of gay, we said queer, and no big deal. Queer means unusual, different, out of the ordinary. But now we have to use the language that the left tells us to use. Well, who are you to tell me what words to use?
Well, what I always do, if I can jump in there, you don't find gay or queer in the scripture. You don't find homosexual. It's called sodomite. It's 38 times in the scripture, and that's what the Bible says that they are. Derby, let's jump for the sake of time very quickly back to the subject that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. The very very main focus that I want us to understand today is the end of America. Is it possible that this election will be the end of America? Derby, I'm looking at an article here that says 233,000 mail-in ballots bounced undeliverable in a recent Clark County, Nevada primary election. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have 233,000 bounced, there's a problem. And just in New York, there's still an uproar today in New York because the 12th District Congresswoman there, which is a Democrat, lost the election in reality, but because such a major confusion about the ballots, this is in the primary back in March and April of this year, and up until 3 weeks ago, the counting had not been completed, and so they invited a judge. The judge then ruled that the 12th District Democrat Congresswoman had won the election, and still thousands upon thousands and thousands of ballots that never have been reviewed for the verifiability of it are counted. And yet the judge determined, Derby, I'm of the opinion, and I pray to God that I'm wrong, if we have the open election based on mail-in voting that is now, the stage has now been set, if that's what we do for November the 3rd, I'm of the opinion that we will not know who the president is until December or January when a Supreme Court decision is handed down that names the president. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Supreme Court should not be involved in that. The votes are due at 7 p.m. on election night. You count them by 8, and that's it. We know who won. It's just stupid that We live in a judicial tyranny.
Yes.
Everything that we do, I'll sue you, or we'll see what the Supreme Court says. Laws ought to be written in plain English so that they cannot be interpreted by some judge because they disagree. 4-5, 3-4, whatever number they agree on. Well, my opinion is as good as theirs. Because they disagree with each other.
You touched on that, and it's a very good subject because I have dwelt on that for years and years and years. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at any Supreme Court decision, it's called the opinion of the court. An opinion, your opinion is good as my opinion. My opinion is good as anybody else's opinion. It's an opinion rendered by the Supreme Court. And I cannot recall the president's name at the time, but you can probably find it if Google will let you today. But anyway, one president in history, when the Supreme Court rendered their opinion, the president said, that's your opinion, that's good, but we're simply not going to accept your opinion. This is what the law says, and this is what we're going to do. And I've said for years and years and years, Derby, that's what presidents ought to do, is simply say, you're the third member of the branch of government, and we're not going to let you rule the executive branch and the judiciary branch or the legislative branch by your judiciary authority.
Well, the president is the executive branch. They enforce the law. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. If I don't like it, if I don't agree, I don't have to enforce what you say. I enforce what is written in plain English in the Constitution.
That's the law.
In this vote recounting or late ballots, usually the Democrats who lost end up winning after a recount.
Yes. We had that happen in California.
How stupid are these Republicans who accept whatever they bring in 50,000 more votes they found in some basement, and we count them? No. Those 50,000 ballots should have been at the supervisor of elections office by 7 p.m., period.
Yes. Derby, I'm looking at another article. It says, California tosses 100,000 botched mail-in ballots for the presidential primary. 100,000. In fact, California is the world's worst, the nation's worst, as far as finding ballots all of a sudden that they're counted then. And back during the primary, what was it, 2016, we had several that were elected as Republicans. And then after counting and recounting and recounting, all of a sudden the Democrat won. What can you expect from the land of fruits and nuts, Derby? But 100,000 botched mail-in ballots for the president. Los Angeles, more than 100,000 mail-in ballots were rejected by the Elections Commission's office during the March presidential primary, according to the data obtained by Associated Press, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Derby, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. I want you to take that minute and a half, talk to our listeners, tell them what we need to do. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. We need to confess our sins, seek God's face, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We ought to ask God to divinely intervene once again, as he did in 2016, again in 2020, and put Donald J. Trump in office. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you before Derby wraps us up that in 2016, 31 million Christians did not vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we just simply cannot afford to hide in the closet or hide under the bed or sit on our hands and not vote. We must vote. Derby, am I right?
Yes, of course. So I'd like to say this much. First of all, everybody, not you, Dr. Youngblood, we should stop saying socialism. It's communism.
Communism-like.
Right. Socialism is communism-like.
That's right.
Also, we must take the offensive against Democrats and concerning George Floyd, systemic racism in this country, and there's no police brutality. That's where the left takes the narrative. We should not discuss it because there is none.
Yes, we're being lied to and deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue today. Looking forward to meeting again once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.